Psalm chapter 34, and we'll be reading together verses 8 through 10. Psalm 34, starting verse 8, it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity to just worship you, Father, through beautiful song. Lord, we have the opportunity to worship and glorify you, but Lord, in return, we are encouraged and we are strengthened and we can just boldly come to you, Father. And I just thank you now for the opportunity to grow closer to you through the study of your word. And Father, I just pray through encouragement, pray for encouragement through that as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, John. If you will turn now in your Bibles to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6 is where we are going to be, but Psalm 34 gives us a great lead-in into what we are going to look at this morning. I would imagine that if we went out and asked pretty much anybody in the whole world, would you rather have goodness and blessings in your life or depravity and sadness? Every single person in their right mind would say, well, blessings, of course. Okay, and then they would probably comment on how dumb the question was. Of course we want goodness. Of course we want blessings in our life. But how does one acquire God's goodness? How does one acquire God's blessings in our life? And in asking that question of really many world religions, here are just some of the answers that I found. Doing good to others is what some say. That's how you acquire God's goodness and God's blessings in your life. And there certainly is some truth to that. Paying it forward, giving financially. In fact, some say that the more you give, the more you will get. If you really want to be blessed, using your credit card, send $100 right now, or make checks payable to da-da-da-da-da, mail them to, well, there's an address here, right here in Mesquite I could give you. But anyway, others might say if you want to be blessed, just follow your heart. Follow your heart's desires. Just believe. In fact, believe that you deserve to be blessed, they say. Visualize it, affirm it over and over again, and you'll get it. I found one world religion that actually offers a form to fill out for blessings. And as soon as it, along with a copy of your ID, membership number, and check is received, you will be blessed. Some even believe that using one's own body as a bomb to kill others will bring blessings in their life. Blessings, really, in the presence of God. Now, a few of these go to extremes. But let me ask you, is the pursuit of God's presence and blessings in our life a good thing? Absolutely it is. Absolutely. Because God is good. God is perfect. And upon his presence in our life, God desires to really shower us with goodness and blessings. He wants good things for his children. However, what we are going to look at this morning, what we're going to focus on is the fact that there is a right way and a wrong way to gain God's blessings, okay? There is a right way. And this morning, really, by looking at David's pursuits of God's goodness, we can learn the proper way to do it. Our subject this morning is gaining God's goodness from 2 Samuel chapter 6. And gaining God's goodness, really, it's the receiving of His blessings. And it doesn't get any simpler than this. In fact, this is the lesson for this morning, okay? Gaining God's blessings, receiving God's blessings, is really by doing God's work God's way. That's the theme this morning. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 11:28. He said, Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessings and goodness come really from our obedience to God. And I think it's important before we get started to define really what goodness and blessings is, okay? Because we're not talking about just earthly riches, nor are we talking about a life without trial. Goodness and blessings really are the perfect provision and joy of God's presence in our life. Goodness and blessings are the perfect provision and joy of God's presence in our lives. Through the good times and the bad, God is good, and He desires to shower that goodness upon His children. And that is what David is pursuing in our passage today. We pick up this morning with David, if you remember from last week, having just been, just been installed the new king of Israel. He has made Jerusalem the political center of his kingdom, but now, because he is indeed a man after God's own heart, he also desires to set up Jerusalem as the worship center of his kingdom. So with that, let's read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim." For Israel, in that day, the Ark really was the presence or represented the presence of God. Many believe that the Ark of God would have looked something like this. And I don't even have my clicker.
There it is.
There it is. All right. Thank you, Kobe. In fact, just leave that up for the morning. That's fine. But anyway, many believe that it would have looked something like this. Okay? Very ornate. Two cherubim on top there, and that's why it says who dwells between the cherubim. It was really represented the presence of God on earth. Now the word ark simply means a container or a box. That's what the word ark means. If you remember, Noah's ark, okay, was a very large container that housed all of the human life and animal life, and save them from the judgment that came upon the earth. This ark in our passage was a smaller box that about four men could carry, and it contained the remnants of God's promises to Israel. The Ten Commandments, Aaron's staff, and some manna from heaven, all of which, by the way, really represent and point to Jesus Christ, who would save us from judgment. But this ark also served as the very throne of God on earth, His mercy seat. It represented His presence, and therefore it was a source of great power and blessings for the nation of Israel. It was to be kept in the tabernacle of God. However, and we didn't read this as we went through our study in 1 Samuel, but the ark had been stolen from Israel by the Philistines. not one of Israel's finest moments. It was before David ever took the throne. But because it caused great judgment upon the Philistines as they possessed it, they said, all right, we don't even want this thing. And because it caused that judgment upon him, it had been in storage in some guy's garage, I mean house, up until now. All right? David understood the importance of having the ark, the presence of God back in Israel, in a central location, back in the tabernacle, and understanding the power and blessings of God's presence, he decided, we need to go get this thing. It was a right pursuit, a very right pursuit. But David, we're going to find first off this morning, David is going to do it in the wrong way. And our first point this morning, I only got two of them for you, but the first point, the first thing that we need to learn about obtaining God's goodness and blessings in our life is this: man's ways are often erroneous. Man's ways of obtaining God's blessings and God's goodness are oftentimes erroneous. They are wrong according to God. Sometimes defiantly wrong, sometimes mistakenly wrong, but guess what? Still wrong. And David is about to do a very right thing, a very right thing in a very wrong way. I heard about an elderly man who was making his way home, driving down the freeway, when his wife called him on the cell phone. She said, Herman, I just heard on the news that there is a car going the wrong way on Route 80. Please be careful. To which Herman replied, the news is wrong. It's not just one car. There are hundreds of them. Going home is right, but there is a right way and a wrong way to do it. There have been times in my life where I have attempted to minister to people. I was sincere in my pursuit. I honestly wanted what was the absolute best for them, and I did what seemed practical and expedient at the time. But because it wasn't in God's way, because God commands me to have compassion and love, and perhaps that was missing, perhaps I didn't do it, I didn't seek God's wisdom as I did it, because it was not in the ideal way, because I mistakenly did some things wrong instead of helping that person, I actually hurt them. Just because something is practical or expedient does not make it right. We can do the right thing in the wrong way. God says that we can speak with the eloquence of angels. Through Paul in 1 Corinthians, he says, we could speak with the eloquence of angels, but if we don't do it with love, God commands love, we're just making noise. And we can actually hurt somebody. Just because something is practical or expedient does not make it right. We can do the right thing in the wrong way, and therefore it's wrong. Here's what David did. David rightly wanted God's presence. He rightly wanted God's presence in Israel. He was pursuing a good thing, wanting the ark. And here is why. Here's why it's a good thing for him to want the ark, to want the presence of God. And we don't actually learn this a bit later, but first of all, David desired to honor God by building him a house, a temple for him in Jerusalem. This was one reason David wanted the ark there. It was a great reason. Another reason for obtaining the ark was David. David rightly understood that an earthly king is not the ideal form of government. A nation ruled by God is the ideal form of government. And that is another reason he wanted the presence of God, the Ark in Jerusalem, to be central in Israel. David understood that the only way Israel could be blessed was by God. David wanted God ruling in Israel. David understood, and he rightly wanted God's presence, but he did it in the wrong way. And we read that in verses 3 through 7. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, fir wood on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums and cymbals. And when they came to the house of Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand on the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. Wow. Uzzah died. The Lord struck him dead because he touched the ark to keep it from falling to the ground. Now this, on the surface, is one of the most difficult accounts, I think, in the Bible for us to understand from our limited human perspective, perhaps better put, our sinful human perspective. But it clearly demonstrates that what is practical may not be right. And here we read that God was angered. God was angry. Why? Uzzah touched what he was commanded not to. In Numbers 4:15, God said that only the Levites and priests of Israel could touch and carry the furnishings of the tabernacle, the ark being the holiest of them all. It says of those who are not Levites or priests, it says, they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. And Uzzah did. He was not a priest nor a Levite, and he touched the ark. But what's more, God commanded that the ark be carried by the Levites. Anytime they transported it, it was supposed to be a Levite or a priest in Israel that was supposed to do it. In fact, it was specifically made with rings that poles could be slid through so that it could be transported like that. How was David transporting it? On a cart. By men who were not priests. And because of David's practical, expedient way, even though he was doing the right thing in wanting God's presence, it was in the wrong way. And while Uzzah reaped God's wrath for touching what he was commanded not to, had it not been on a cart to begin with, none of this would have happened. The Lord was angered, and David was afraid. Look at verses 8 through 10. It says, and David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. David thought, how in the world am I going to get the ark to Jerusalem? Initially, we read here that David was angry about what happened. He's like, here I am wanting God's presence and goodness for Israel. And this is what God does? As if the Lord owes him something? As if a good try earns some kind of merit with God? I even built a new cart for the occasion. But that anger quickly turned to fear, for David now understood a bit better God's standards, God's nature, God's holiness. And he wondered, how can I ever get God's presence in Jerusalem? You see, the ends do not justify the means. The practical way, the expedient way, can be the wrong way, and God will not bless even his children who do good things, but in the wrong way. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And this right here would be a really good place for some application concerning even salvation. While salvation is not what our passage is about, this passage does very clearly illustrate God's standards, his holiness. There are many in the world who want a divine presence in their lives. And they are trying to obtain it in a thousand different ways, practical ways, expedient ways, but not God's way. And they will die trying. God's way is the only way. Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." In John 11, Jesus says, He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Obviously, it was the right thing to desire God's presence and goodness, but it will not happen in the wrong way. David ended up leaving the ark in the home of a Levite priest. And verse 11 says, "The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household." The presence of the Lord does bring blessings and goodness. But in pursuing that goodness, in pursuing those blessings, secondly this morning, God's ways are always exclusive. God's ways are always exclusive. The proper way to gain God's goodness is only God's way. Why? Well, it's his goodness and blessing being distributed. He can distribute it how he wants, right? Through the years, I've bought a number of products that offered a rebate of the sale price. Get a little bit money back on what I've bought. Some of them have been significant amounts of money being offered back. But I have learned through experience that if I do not send in that rebate exactly how they want me to, I don't get any money back, okay? I have to send it with all the documentation they demand, or else I won't get anything. Now, that hardly seems fair, because I did buy the product. I did produce a receipt. Why do they need the barcode too, right? Why can't they just send that rebate anyway? Well, it's because it's their money they're giving back. They can do it as they please. Well, for God, he not only distributes as he pleases, but more importantly, he wants us to understand just how holy and perfect he is. He wants us to understand the seriousness of obedience to him. He wants us to live lives of holiness, as he is holy. He wants us to rely on Him and His Word to do it. 1 Peter 1:15 says, "As He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." Now keep in mind that this is not about obtaining salvation, okay, being good and obedient. This is about His blessings in our life, His goodness. Well, look at David's second attempt, verses 12 and 13. "Now it was told King David, saying, 'The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God.' So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep." Do you notice anything different between this attempt and the first attempt? Yes? No? Some differences? Okay. This time there's nothing said about a cart. And verse 13 specifically tells us that there were some men bearing the ark, carrying the ark. Now the books of 1 and 2 Samuel actually give us a historic account of the life of David. But many of these accounts are also given in the book of 1 Chronicles. And there it comes from the perspective of the priests in Israel. All right? And of this very account, this second attempt, 1 Chronicles chapter 15 says this. It says, "David prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, 'No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever.' So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord." Sometime between the first attempt and second attempt, David read God's word. And he learned God's way. And he did it God's way. Jesus said, "Blessed. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And as they took six steps and no one died, they offered to the Lord. And they did this all the way to Jerusalem. David was doing it God's way. Now, in the remainder of our chapter here, we find some of the results of doing things God's way. All of them, everything we find here is by God's design. All of them can serve as a blessing, but some of them may surprise you. Some of them may be some things that you don't want to hear concerning doing things God's way, the results of doing things God's way. Some of the results of doing things God's way are not pleasant. But the first one is the Lord's way will bring us joy. Doing things the Lord's way will bring us joy. Look at verses 14 and 15. It says, "Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet." It was happening. It was finally happening. The Lord's presence would be in Jerusalem because David was doing things God's way. David was so full of joy that he put on a holy garment, the ephod, danced as all Israel celebrated with shouts and music. The Lord's way will bring us joy. But also, the Lord's way may bring us hate. Not hate in our heart, but hate toward us. Look at verse 16. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. We need to understand that not everyone we encounter will be as pleased as we are with the Lord's presence and goodness in our lives. Some will even hate us for it. Our joy in the Lord will disgust them. Years ago, I overheard a coworker once say to another coworker, say of another coworker who was a believer, "I can't stand to be around him. He's too happy. His attitude is too good." Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23 says this, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven." The Lord's way may bring us hate. Thirdly, the Lord's way will bring us provision. Look at verses 17 through 19. "So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house." As a token of the blessings that would come from the Lord upon his presence in Jerusalem, from God's provision, every person was blessed with some food. The Lord's way will bring us blessings and provision. Fourthly, the Lord's way may bring us revile. Verse 20. "Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself to the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself.'" As David comes home in the best mood ever, his wife Michal, in a very sarcastic way, compliments his dancing and really condemns it. She says he exposed himself. However, we don't really read anything in here concerning that. In fact, in 1 Chronicles, it tells us that David was fully clothed at all time. It appears that she just did not like his dancing for joy. It embarrassed her. She didn't think his conduct was becoming of a king. And she likened it to one who has exposed himself. Listen to Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Fifthly, the Lord's way will bring us humility. Verses 21 through 23. "So David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this. and will be humbled in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. David says, my celebrating, my joy was for the Lord and no one else. And if that makes me look undignified before men, so be it. So be it. Who here has ever been uncomfortable praying for your meal in a restaurant? All right, a little bit of discomfort. That's humility, but we do it because it's for the Lord. We should care less. The reason the discomfort comes is because of our sin nature. We care about what people think of us. David didn't. David says, those who understand my humility before the Lord will honor me for it. Anybody here remember Larry Burkett? He had a ministry, a radio ministry, a financial ministry. Okay? He's actually gone home to be with the Lord now. But Larry Burkett used to be on the radio daily giving brothers and sisters in Christ financial information. And I remember, and it was just a short thing that he said one time. I don't think this was something that he said over and over again. But I remember on one of his programs, he said, whenever I see someone in a restaurant praying for their meal beforehand, I will secretly go pay their dinner bill. That's neat. He was honoring those people who thought less about what other people thought about them and more about glorifying the Lord. That is what David says right now. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. The Lord's way will bring us humility, and humility before the Lord is always good. 1 Peter 3:17 says, it is better if it is for the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. David desired God's presence in Israel, and he learned that the practical way may not be the best way, can be the wrong way, and the proper way is always God's way. Perhaps, again, the bottom line of this lesson today, a very basic and simple lesson, obedience to God is how one gains God's goodness. It is doing God's work in God's way only. The great English minister of the 19th century, Andrew Bonar, said of God's detailed laws, and we might consider what he says as far as using the cart to move the ark as compared to the priest. He says, it is not the importance of the thing. In other words, it's not just that they used a cart rather than people moving it. He says, but it is the majesty of the lawgiver. It's not the mechanics of it. It's the majesty, the glory, the honor that we are giving to God. He says, it's not the importance of the thing, but the majesty of the lawgiver that is to be the standard of obedience. He says, some indeed might reckon such minute and arbitrary rules as these as trifling. But the principle involved in obedience or disobedience was none other than the same principle broken in Eden at the foot of the forbidden tree. And I might add, the same principle obeyed is what frees a person from that curse. Obedience to God is how one gains God's goodness. Romans 6:17 explains kind of what I just said. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the gospel to which you were delivered. And a man or woman who is truly after God's own heart wants only what God's heart wants. and will therefore do God's work in God's way. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask your forgiveness this morning for those times in our lives. Those times, Lord, in my life where I did the right thing, but in the wrong way, and caused it to be worthless. Father, forgive us for those times. I pray, Lord, that through this account, that we would better recognize it's not so much about the mechanics, but your majesty, your glory, your honor. Us glorifying your nature, your standards. And Father, I thank you that that through your Spirit that we can glorify you. Father, I pray that as we do seek to do your work in your way, that we would be ready for the results. Thank you for the joy that it produces, but Lord, I pray for readiness concerning the hate and revile that may come our way. Lord, we thank you for your provision of goodness and blessings in our life, the humility that it produces. But Lord, prepare us for those that will persecute us and say all kinds of evil against us falsely. Father, I pray that in everything that we do, we would be seeking to glorify you. Lord, I pray for obedience in our lives. Thank you for salvation that is simply received through trusting in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. But Lord, as we seek to be holy as you are holy, I pray, Lord, that your word would guide us, that you would empower us, and that we would indeed do your work in your way. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.